Hey there, and welcome to the Corporate Side Hustler Podcast. And I am your host, Lisa Rigoli, HR manager by day, Instagram manager by night, a wife and a mom of two beautiful girls. Now, in 2014, I walked away from the dream job I worked 9+ years to get to. And here's the deal. I said no to this opportunity because I knew in my gut, I no longer wanted to climb the corporate ladder, but I wasn't ready to leave the corporate world. So I created this podcast channel to support you busy women to maximize your time while juggling all the things. Each week, my guests and I are sharing how you can attract, nurture, and connect with your ideal audience with intentionality without spending countless hours online. We get the struggle of the juggle, and we want to remind you that you can build and run a profitable side business while working your demanding day job. Thanks for tuning in. Now, let's jump into today's episode. Hey, Christy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here today.
I cannot stop smiling because this topic, especially with all the recent DMs I've been getting lately, I'm like, is so needed. I would love, though, before we dive in, would you just mind sharing a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So my name is Christy Lepley. I'm the founder of Ambitious Soul Co., which is a podcast and online coaching service platform. And I have about a 13-year career in HR and recruiting. And I pivoted a couple of years ago once I had my first son into, you know, the side hustle thing. I got shiny eyes by it. And I was like, what's all this stuff online?
It was
actually in direct sales at the time that I first got my foot in the door. And then I kind of outgrew that a little bit. And I decided I really wanted to launch a podcast. So I started Ambitious Soul Podcast in 2019, which is for ambitious women that want to level up and really go after their big dreams in life. And I showcase other female entrepreneurs on the show, which Lisa was on my show already. And that in turn launched my coaching practice, which I do online coursework as well as group coaching and one-on-one coaching.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So good. So with you doing everything that you've been working on right now, I'm sure that you are constantly getting questions around how to sell on Instagram with ease from your clients, from your students, from people in the DMs. Tell us like what sparked you truly to start focusing specifically on this.
Yes. And it's actually very interesting because I think it's a mix of my background of why I'm so passionate about this is when I first got into direct sales and I was, you know, being taught all of the things in direct sales trainings that they do tell you to do. I thought, hey, I know how to do sales and marketing from my HR and recruiting days, but I don't really know how to position myself online. So I'm going to do what they tell me to do. Right. So I had a little bit of success and then I was just kind of like hitting a wall. And when I would go and say like, hey, well, why don't we try things this way? As like a corporate recruiter would say, you know, why don't we do something different? I was kind of told, you know, like follow the lead, don't try and reinvent the wheel, just do things a certain way. And there was this disconnect, Lisa, that I noticed. And it really just broke my heart where people that weren't necessarily in the corporate world for, you know, 10, 12, however many years, didn't have those sales skills. Like, and I truly believe sales is something anyone can learn. Sales and marketing, it's a skill. Yes, you perfect it over time and get better at it, but it's not like she's more popular than me. She's prettier than me, which is what online makes us think it means. It just means you're good at writing sales copy, right? Like you're good at communicating the value of something online versus not. And that wasn't something that people taught in direct sales. So all these girls would see these other girls online being quote unquote successful and feel like, I'm not like her. I don't have this big following. I'm not as pretty as her. I don't have the big team that she has. And that's why I'm not successful. And I really found this like need to teach women sales and marketing in a way that feels good, because I also believe sales and money is energy. And when you're doing tasks and things that feel gross to you and make you want to throw up and you get that pit in your stomach, that comes across to the other person. So 100%. If you're not doing sales in a way that feels like good and aligned to you, where you're like excited, you think this person like needs to hear about your offer and you are so excited to tell them, then that excitement versus, you know, that sick feeling, that translates to the other person.
I couldn't agree with you more. And the thing that was coming to mind for me is I can still remember 6 years ago when I got my first sales call and being excited. So almost having the reverse of like, all right, I got this. Like I would play like my favorite jam song at the time to get on this call, get in the zone. And then right when I would say the dollar amount, I would actually talk myself out of them signing up with me, because even if they were quiet for just a second, I told myself they were going to be a no. So I'm glad that we're talking about this, because it's going to help women and my side hustler community to see like, what should you be focusing on to start getting that confidence? And I hope all of you are hearing this. It does take practice, but now we're going to help you set the foundation to help you feel really good and not either overcomplicate it or do what I did, which is talk myself out of a sale.
And I first think it's also that we need to stop working for free, okay? And us as women, especially, or when you're really good at something, you sometimes second guess yourself on it, because you're like, this comes so easy to me. How could I charge for this? Why would people pay for this? But what you're really good at, other people aren't, you know? And so it's really standing in your own authority and being like, no, like this is my product or service that I have to sell. I know this is going to benefit someone's life, and communicating that in a way that feels authentic and good to you.
100%. All right. So you have some goodness that you're going to break down for us. And I want you to hit us with the first thing, which I believe is finding your niche.
It is. And I truly believe in this so wholeheartedly. And I read the first marketing book that I like dove into front to back and could not put down was Seth Godin's marketing book, This Is Marketing. It's neon orange. And as soon as I think it's like chapter one, and he talks about finding your niche, and I'm like, this is it. Like, I know people preach this online and it's hard to grasp that concept. It's scary to niche down. You don't want to exclude people. And you're not really taught that, like, unless you're working one-on-one with coaches that, you know, kind of teach this stuff, which I know you do, Lisa, but like in a big organization, you're taught to serve everybody,
yep.
You know, you're taught like, yep, my thing is good for everybody. And yes, like if I sell skincare, everyone has skin, but that doesn't translate online. Okay. That's why your stuff isn't getting the engagement that you want, is because you're trying to speak to everyone and it's actually speaking to no one.
And what I love too, and if I'm hearing you correctly, we're talking about niching down. We're not necessarily saying that you have to have a specific ideal client profile, but what we're saying is, how do you carve your space in that area? So for example, with the skincare line, maybe saying I work with women who have acne or dry skin or oily skin. Niching down means that it doesn't necessarily mean I work with women who are 35 with two kids and have a corporate job. It's what's that specific thing that you do in that specific area. Is that correct?
Yes. And getting very, very clear on that, and not, like I said, not being afraid to exclude people. Cause here's the thing, we're all chasing like, you know, we think we want 10,000 followers, and you and I discussed this on my podcast, but really what you should be chasing is 10 new customers. Okay. 10 people.
Yes.
That's it. Like, how would your business and your life change if you got 10 new customers to buy your offer this month? And that's all you really need. And so to start building some momentum, and the way you get those 10 is you speak very clearly to those 10 specific people when you're writing copy. Okay. And this goes to, once you get clear on finding your niche and who you want to help, writing sales copy and infusing your client's specific language in your copy is what really sets you apart from when people are scrolling and they say, whoa, she gets me. Like, she's in my head. I've felt this way, versus just, happy Friday. Hope you girls are doing great today. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing I sell. If you want it, great. Message me. It sets you apart so much. And what that's going to do is it's going to polarize you to speaking to those people, and it's going to repel everyone else. And that's really what you want online, because you want to stand out and be center of mind to your ideal customer and your niche, and like the person that you are there to help and serve, that your product is going to like change their life. And everyone else, who cares? Like, yes, they can like sit there and like your stuff, but like, you're not here for them. So stop trying to please everyone. And so I really wanted to give people some tangible tips, because I'm all about like the quick wins. Like, okay, she's talking about these theories, but like, what can I actually do today? So infusing your customer's specific language in your copy, that's what you can do today. This is what I teach all my one-on-one clients, is like, you're coming at a level of here and you need to dumb it down a notch. And I'm not saying your customer is dumb, but you're talking jargon. okay? Like you and I, Lisa, we can talk all day long about niching down, sales jargon, right? Marketing jargon, right? But like, that's not what our girl is struggling with. She's trying to get engagement, okay? So if I were to
let me chime in here, because I think this is like really good for people to remember, because listeners, I know there are so many of you that come to me and you're like almost debating, like, should I really do the thing? Because I'm scared I'm not an expert. What we're trying to explain to you, even for you newbies, you're still one step, two steps ahead of the people that you're working with. And because you're one step or two steps ahead, you're already out of that newbie stage. Like even as much as you still think you're a newbie, you're not. And the types of phrases that you use, the word choices that you pick, no longer are going to resonate with that person because you're not really in that space anymore. So to Christy's point, it's about using their language, not us making up what we think they want, because we're no longer in those feelings. It's about really grabbing their language. And Christy, I'm curious, how do you actually do that? How do we grab their language?
Yeah, so there's a couple different places that you can get this. The best place is from their mouth, okay? And that involves getting on a sales call or having some sort of email communication exchange. You want to be getting objections from people. And I say, like, if you're not getting enough objections, you're not having enough conversations. So I don't think that there is a such thing as a bad sales call, because I'm either going to get the sale and like get a new client, or I'm going to get their language, which is just as valuable, because that's going to translate to me writing 5 to 10 new Instagram posts that will speak to her and other people like her.
So what comes to mind for me, I love how you just like totally simplified it. When I actually had a coach that really recommended that I got 50 no's. She's like, I want you to not focus on the yes. I want you to get on 50 calls and just do everything that you can to get the no. And the reason behind it, not only was she helping me with confidence just to try anything and everything that was out there, but she also wanted me to do exactly what you just said, which is hone in on what are those key things that they're saying, whether it's an objection, what are those key things that they're saying from a struggling perspective? And that is everything that I've been using in my content creation since day one, because of the fact that I allow those no's to not make me feel defeated. If anything, I'm like, this is just some additional market research that's going to help me ensure that I'm continuing to create what you just said earlier, Christy, which is the, oh my God, Lisa's speaking to me feeling.
Yes. So this is how it starts, right? You hone in on who it is you want to talk to, like your customer, your niche. You go find those people and you have conversations with them. And the thing is that we're so afraid to get on the phone or to even like have an email conversation because we're just terrified of rejection, right? Like no one wants to be rejected, right? It's a horrible feeling. And we're like so afraid. Or we aren't really taught these skills. And so what do? We word vomit our offer. You get on the phone and you're like, oh my God, hi, I'm Christy. Hi, Lisa. Nice to meet you. But anyways, let me tell you how I help women online, blah, 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 blah. And we don't let them talk. When you are on a call with somebody, you should be talking 20% of the time. You should have 5 main like open-ended questions that you're asking them and you're listening to her answer and you're taking notes. Because like I said, you're turning what she's saying into your email copy, into your Instagram post that's going to lead to other people like her getting involved in your stuff. And so it's really about being a good listener to what she's saying. So that's one place, you know, having these conversations, taking her objections, like calling it out. Why is she saying no? Is it too expensive or is that something you're making up in your head? You know, what is she actually saying no to? Take that, make that a headline of your next Instagram post, and then write 4 reasons why that isn't true, you know, or why this is actually a good thing. That's going to get her attention. The other place that I wanted to give people that they can get this type of information from, go to other people's accounts that are in the same realm as you, but that maybe have a bigger audience that are getting the engagement that you want, and look at the comments of what the people are saying, are leaving, asking that person questions.
Okay, so much goodness. I only want to stop for 1 second and pause because I think there's a really key thing here that you're mentioning. And a lot of times I hear, well, Lisa, if I jump on a sales call or if I jump on a strategy call, I feel like I have to provide so much value to almost convince this person that they should sign up with me. And what you're saying is, no, actually, I want you to listen more and ask only a few open-ended questions. So that's key. And I want to make sure that everyone hears that. If you feel like you've overtaken this call and now you're talking more, that should be your warning sign to how do I take a pause, ask more open-ended questions that's going to create this person to engage more with you. Because this is ultimately what we're doing. We're getting in their head a little bit. So the more that they're talking about their feelings and their frustrations and their struggles, the more that they're going to end up talking themselves into the sale. Would you agree?
Yes, exactly. And even if they don't say yes that day, they feel heard by you. Okay. Yes. Like they feel like you took the time to get to know them. And we are so like in an instant gratification world right now that it's like, no, I want, yes, I want the money today. And it just doesn't work that way. And once we can like accept that that's not reality, that you aren't going to post your offer. I mean, unless you're Jenna Kutcher, right? You're not going to post your offer and have 1,000 people buy your thing tonight.
Right. Right.
That it's going to take a little finessing and a little work. It's going to take conversations. It's going to take you getting your name out there and having these conversations and really being, having that person being like, Christy gets me, like she cared. That's what's going to make them buy from you.
100%. And now curious, do you have an example of like how someone like, or how you've gone to another account to get that verbiage?
Mm-hmm, sure. So for instance, one of my coaches, one of the first coaches that I've worked with about a year and a half ago, you know, I had a small following, she had a big following, and she was getting like the engagement that I want, right? And this is something that is, you can do this in any industry. So you would just go to an account that has more followers where people are actually like commenting and asking questions, right? So I would go to one of her posts that had a lot of activity, and I would look at the comments that people left. If she left like, how can I help you on social media today? Drop it in the comments, okay? And then people are like, I need help with engagement. How do you find photos? I would take all of those comments, put them in a Google Doc, and turn those comments into posts. Does that make sense?
100%.
I just want to make sure I didn't lose anyone. Yes, it's a little bit of work, but that's market research. That's a lot easier than you sitting there staring at your blinking cursor being like, what do I post today? I don't know. And when you're stuck like that, that's because you're thinking about what do I post today? And you need to get out of that mindset and being like, what does my girl need to hear from me today? What can I say that's going to lead her through the journey, right? Like, what does she need? Does she need to be lifted up? Does she need to be taught a skill today? Does she need to be encouraged today? Like, that's where you should be coming at it from when you're writing copy for Instagram or your email or your blog.
Listen, you are literally like singing like beautiful music to me right now, because this is like the stuff that I am always talking about. And I'm like, is anyone listening? Is this mic on? Is this mic on? So the fact that you are saying it from this lens, and like you can hear the energy in your voice of this is something that you truly believe in, and it's something that you're passionate about, because it's the right way to handle things. It's the right way to do things in order to build your business.
And it works. It works. And people, it's like, what is the lesser of two evils? You carving out some time and doing a little bit of research and like making a Google Doc full of questions and objections and these comments, or you sitting there and not posting and holding yourself back because you don't know what to post? They're literally giving you the answer of what to post. You just need to pay attention to it.
Agreed. Okay. So what do we do next from here?
Okay. So I have one sneaky tip that if people are like, Christy, I'm too scared, I don't want to have the conversation yet. Go to the website, answerthepublic.com. You get 2 free searches a day. Okay. You can type in any word or any industry, and it will populate questions that people are typing into Google around that word or around that industry.
What's the name of that website?
It's called answerthepublic.com.
I hope you listeners are listening to that, because that is an amazing, amazing market research tool.
It's a market research tool. I will send it to you, Lisa, so you can put it in your notes and stuff and they can just click on it. But you get 2 free searches a day. So what you can do is you can take those specific questions, because that's what people are typing into Google. That's the question that they want the answer to. They don't want your jargon version of it that you've been taught, you know? So you take those questions and you turn those into Instagram posts.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So and then from there, so now we have all this raw data.
Yeah, we have all the stuff. So like, how do you sell? Like you get there and you're like, what do I do? So I'm going to give you 2 quick tips, one to sell on the phone and one to sell in your copy. So when you're selling on the phone, and I know we freeze up, we choke and we're like, what? But this is how you're going to do it. You're just going to say, I'd love to support you. How can I do that today? Okay.
Ooh.
You are the guide. Okay. You have to remember that. We're so afraid to go in for the close because we don't want to be that used car salesman. But you have to remember when you're like, oh, let me know if you want to work together. Bye. They don't know what to do. Okay. They can be ready to buy from you, but they like that wishy-washiness, they don't know what to do. So you can close the sale on the phone. You want a yes or a no. Okay. So you want to ask a question when you're ending the call. You're the one that needs to guide them through that journey. So you want to ask a question they're going to say yes or no to. And I just love saying, you know, if I have a call with someone that for my one-on-one spot, you know, I would just say like, I would love to support you. I have an opening coming up in March. Is this something that you would like to do together? If they're like, no, I'm like, okay, great. You know, we'll continue to stay in touch on Instagram. Yes. Okay. Doesn't feel icky or gross, right? How can I support you? And then in your copy, what you're going to do when you're writing Instagram posts or writing a sales page or whatever, instead of sitting there and writing out all the steps and all the things they get, you get 4 Zoom calls with me, you get Voxer, no one cares, right? You're going to write and describe the actual outcome that they are going to receive by working with you or buying.
Yes, Christy. Yeah, agreed. No one cares about the logistics. They want to hear about the benefits.
Right. But we're so caught up in like, oh my gosh, I've made this awesome thing and it has all these steps or my product has all these ingredients and all this fun stuff that I want to tell everyone. And that's not what they care. Women buy with emotion. Okay. So you want to emotionally tie her to the outcome. Like, what is she going to feel by working with you and buying your thing? That's what you want to share, the feeling, not the actual steps. And always, for the love of God, finish with a clear call to action. Every post, clear call to action. That is my like killer tip. Even if it's double tap, if you needed to hear this today, people need to be given clear direction of what to do or they will do nothing.
I'm curious. Something tells me you might have another little sneaky example or a sneaky little tip. Do you have a kind of a go-to call to action to get someone to slide into your DMs?
You know what? I don't have a sneaky one, but what I don't like is when I see the Instagram bio, when people say, DM me, like,
agreed.
No one's DMing you, you know?
Yeah. Like, there's nothing personal about that at all.
Or they're just like, DM me for more info. It's like, no one's DMing you. What I would do that's kind of sneaky is you have to think of yourself like, if you're going to sit there, if I'm going to put up like a little bit of a vulnerable post, you know, or if I'm going to sit there and do a post where I'm like, I'm really letting my reader in and get to know me, I have to know that some people might not be comfortable matching my vulnerability in the comments where other people are going to see what they say. So I could open that up to, I'd love, you know, if you've ever felt this way, you know, I'd love to connect with you in the DMs. My DMs are always open. I love that one. Rather than like, DM me, I just like to say like, my DMs are always open. 9 times out of 10, those women will DM you. Thank you for posting this. I needed to hear this today. I felt that way, but they aren't comfortable sharing that in public.
I couldn't agree with you more. When I was a business coach back in the day, my one was, because I was working specifically with corporate women, was, hey, if you don't feel comfortable responding to this question above, slide into my DMs. I get it. My coworkers are watching too. And it was a way to let them know that I get it. Like, you're wanting to build this business and you're wanting to do all the things, but you may not feel comfortable posting. And that allowed people to slide into my DMs, not because I was about to pitch to them, but I wanted to create this space that they could take that conversation to a place of, I just want to now talk about it. Something I don't feel comfortable putting on a thread, I'll do it in the DMs, which is what you're saying.
Exactly. And another like tip I just want to leave you with is that you want to be talking in Instagram in the DMs like you would in normal life. So yes. Like, stop talking like a robot, you know, like don't say things you wouldn't say in normal life. Like, don't say like, I'm glad you enjoyed consuming my content today. Like, what are you talking about? You would never say that in real life. And I just wanted to share the example of us, Lisa. Like, I don't even know who messaged you first. I probably messaged you, but like, we met in the DMs. And if we both sell coaching, if we would have DM'd, like if Lisa DM'd me or if I DM'd Lisa and my first thing was like, hey, I saw your Instagram, you know, this is my new offer, we would never be having this conversation today. Nope. And like, we didn't even meet that long ago. And it was like, you know, it was like, and LOL. And then it was, I just remember being very drawn to your handle because like, I felt like that was me, like the corporate side hustle. And I thought it was hilarious. And then I started watching your stuff and I ended up just buying your course. And now we're on each other's podcast and now we have a connection. And that's what you need to do. You need to just try to make the connection and then the sale will come.
100%. I mean, everything you're saying is exactly how I feel about you. And I hope you guys are hearing that loud and clear. We never go into the DMs thinking it has to be a sale. We go into the DMs with the goal of, I hope that I convert this person into a colleague, a collaboration partner, and bonus, if they become a client, that's great. And that's the headspace that you need to be in, where it truly, back to the title of this whole podcast, is how to sell on Instagram at ease. When you let go of trying to constantly convert people, it allows you to truly show up like you're talking to a girlfriend. You're showing up in a way that doesn't feel robotic, and like there's like a catch or something, if you will, at the end, because all of us can smell those DMs a mile away. So don't do it yourself.
And if you are in a launch, don't only post about your launch on stories. Like, don't only tell people to DM you about your launch. I, for instance, like, I just launched something new yesterday. And today on my stories, I shared a picture of a new chair I got on Pier 1. No lie, 15 DMs about the chair. Okay.
Yep.
So it's like, you need to still incorporate that other content, but we get so tunnel vision on, no, it's the end of the month, I need to sell my thing. And all we do is post and post and post about our thing. And that turns people off.
100%. Okay. Well, let's recap. Let's recap to make sure everyone's on the same page on how to sell on Instagram with ease. First step is finding your niche. Second, you're going to infuse your client's language into your copy. Third, you're going to place that you can get your ideal client language, which we talked about, which is getting on the call with these individuals or potentially going to other accounts that have like ideal client profiles as you. Then we talked about how to then sell the desired outcomes. So this is talking about the benefits, not talking about the logistics. And then we wrapped it up with how to make sure that you have a call to action that's meaningful and not just a plain Jane, if you will, of DM me. So thank you so much, Christy, for breaking that down. And I'm curious, what do you got cooking up over the next few weeks?
Yeah. So going into March, I have my monthly social media mentorship, which is basically you get to work with me. You get my eyes on your social media, your business, your email copy all month long. And what I do is I help you create posts that I speak to your ideal client. If you don't know who that is, I help you find out who that is and make sure that they speak to her. I basically like edit them for you. I help you with graphics and hashtags, all the things. You know, I'm all about trying to make social media easy so that you do it, because when you are consistent is when you're going to see the results.
100%. All the things, all the links that Christy just shared will be in the show notes below. And as we were talking about earlier, even if you just want to connect, if you want to find out or share with her that you're a teen boy mom as well, slide into her DMs. Yeah. You can start a conversation that way. So we'll include everything there. But before we let you go, Christy, we are doing a fun little would you rather to end out our episodes. So I'm curious, and my listeners are curious as well. Would you rather win the lottery or live twice as long?
Oh my God. I think I'd rather win the lottery. I don't want to be old.
That's fair. I didn't even think about it from that standpoint.
I think I would be, you would just get tired and be like, I'm over this. What's next?
Right,
you know,
right,
I want to go to the next level. So I'd rather win the lottery. I would still do what I do because I love it, but it would just be awesome to like get a boat, travel the world with the kids and stuff.
There you go. I love it. Thank you so much for all the great gems that you provided to us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, here's what I want you to do. Take a quick screenshot of you listening to the Corporate Side Hustler podcast and upload the image to your Instagram stories and tag me in it at the Corporate Side Hustler. I would love to hear from you and connect with you on Instagram. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you the same time next week. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye for now.